Thank you, Brother Dwayne. Thank you for that prayer, Brother Randall, and the opening remarks by Brother Kenny. We have a little bit of a different, we've got a little bit of a short crowd this morning, but we've got a little bit of a different format this morning because of the baptismal service, and because of that, that subject is kind of on my mind, and so if the Lord will be with us, that's what I want to talk to you about for a few minutes is the subject of baptism. You know, in this world, we have a lot of things that are symbolic. Symbols, we wear symbols all the time. You know, when I go to the football games, I wear red and black, and I wear my hat with the double T on it, and I'll have a shirt where it'll have the Red Raider on it. You know, that's a symbol that I want other people to know that I support the Red Raiders and I identify with them. You know, I went to a ball game not too long ago in which guy there showed up and he had a horned toad there and he was in purple. He had a TCU across his cap. You know, we all have these symbols because they want to identify with the thing that their institution that the symbol represents. That's what baptism is. Baptism is a symbol, a like kind of how we want to present ourselves so that people know and understand our fundamental belief in the subject matter of the baptism. We are a Baptist church. It's because our beliefs in the strength of baptism and the symbolic reference to it, that's where we get our name. We get our name, it's carried down over the years and originally from John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the first one we have in the Bible that gives us references of being baptized. And it's a symbolic gesture. I want to read to you, opening here, in Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. Jesus, before he ascended into heaven, he gave this direction to his apostles, and he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." So if you don't believe, you're going to go to hell. If you don't believe and get baptized, you're going to go to hell. And y'all know we don't believe that, do we? But that is what it says, isn't it? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. We don't believe that's talking about eternal salvation. That's talking about what we call time salvation. Salvation today and tomorrow. The Bible has many references in it to the word saved and salvation. And you need to read those carefully because one of the first things you learn when you study is every time the word saved and salvation is used, it's not always talking about our eternal salvation. You know, when I've mentioned this before, when I pray for my kids, especially the first time I put my kids in a car when they got their first driver's license, you know, I prayed they wouldn't have a car wreck. I prayed they'd be saved from injury. I wasn't praying they'd be eternally saved. I know that's not up to me, but I was praying they'd just be saved timely. I prayed my children would be saved from the problems of this world, from the abusers, the men and women out there that, you know, have evil in their heart and would abuse them. I pray for their salvation from those things. The Bible, when it uses the word saved and salvation, is not always referring to eternal salvation. Sometimes it is, and that's why Apostle Paul tells us we need to rightly divide the word of truth. We need to study the Bible so that we know the difference when it's talking about our eternal salvation, us going to heaven, and when it's talking about us helping ourselves through the problems of this world, being saved from the problem of this world. Let's look at this verse 16 also. He that believeth and is baptized, takes two things. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, takes both of those. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Takes two things to get to heaven, only takes one thing to get to hell. Two things, of course, if you believe it straightforward, you got to be believing, you got to be baptized to get to heaven, but then you just don't believe and you go to hell. Now, we got a good example this morning. If this is talking about eternal salvation, Hattie joined the church last Sunday. She believed and she's going to be baptized. But if something had happened to her in the middle of the week that we didn't get to have this baptism, that means she's not going to heaven. She believes, but she didn't get baptized, so that means she's not going to heaven? Because look at the next verse. Because she's not going to hell, because it says, he that believeth not shall be damned. Well, she believes. She just didn't get baptized timely. That's crazy. And what we have to do to understand this is back up a verse, verse 15, where I started. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Does that mean you got to go preach it to horses and cows and grasshoppers and snakes and lizards and beetles? No. Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. If you go to 2 Corinthians, I'm in 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, this is an instruction he gives us. Therefore, any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. If Christ is in you, you're a new creature. It's a new creation. Things become anew. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That's the creatures he's talking about here. Go preach unto all the creatures. He didn't say go to preach to everybody. He's clearly not talking about animals. He's talking about men and women whom the Lord has put himself into. People that are prepared to believe. If you're prepared to believe, you've already got a place in heaven. You're already eternally saved. So when he mentions that back in 15, he says, I want you to go to preach to those that already have the Lord in their heart and are already saved. That's who the ministry is to preach to. That's who this book is for, is to those people who already have the Lord in their heart and are already saved. You wouldn't know to join the church and to ask to be baptized if you weren't already eternally saved. Your eternal salvation is out of the way before we even get to verse 16. You're eternally saved. Now we get to 16. It says, now, those of you that are already saved, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved from the problems and cares of this world. A lot of things. There's a great blessing in baptism that I hope we can talk about in a minute. That's what he's talking about. He that believeth not shall be damned. You're going to have problems in this world. You know, this world is beset with problems and are on us all the time. And that's what he's talking about here. He's talking about baptism helps you out in your daily life because it shows that we are representative of Christ. I'm not afraid. I'm not ashamed to own my Lord, as Paul said. I'm not ashamed to own my Lord. I'm not ashamed to let people know that I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed to let people know I'm a Christian and I have been baptized to show that I believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. That's all it is. It's an important symbol, very important, but it's a symbol. Has nothing to do with your eternal salvation. That's already determined. We may know that as the Apostle Paul teaches us it at 1 Corinthians 2 and 14. 1 Corinthians 2 and 14, y'all have heard this. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. If you're a natural man and you haven't been regenerated, born again, or called, as we call that, and we could go to John 3, I'm not going to go there today, and prove to you that the Lord's in charge of being born again, not us. I've heard it said, you know, if you're not born again, you better go get born again. You're not going to get born again unless the Lord decides to call you and make you and regenerate you. That's what it says in John 3. It says, and that's the natural man. Until we receive that, until the Lord puts himself in our heart, we're a natural man. And the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You don't even know that I need to join the church until the Lord has already put himself in your heart. That's what he's talking about. Spiritually discerned means I can't understand the gospel. I can come in here on Sunday morning and sit on the back bench, and Brother Kenny can preach one of the most outstanding, one of several of his most outstanding sermons. He'll give me trouble for that. But he can preach an outstanding sermon, and if I'm a natural man, I'm going to go, that doesn't make any sense to me. I don't understand it. But if the Lord has pierced my heart, circumcised my heart, as Apostle Paul tells us, before I got in and walked in that door, I'm going to go, there's something about that I like. And there's something about that that intrigues me. It resonates in my heart. I can receive it. It's not foolishness to me. I may not understand it completely, but it's not foolishness to me. Paul tells us there, number one, until you're regenerated, until you're born again, you can't even understand the gospel. At John 8 and 47, he tells us that until you've been regenerated, you can't hear the gospel. I can hear the preacher up there. I can hear him up there rattling off words that I don't understand, don't care about. But if the Lord has prepared my heart ahead of time, I'm going to go in and Brother Kenny will say something. I heard that. And I heard it in here. Didn't hear it here. I heard it in here. I can hear the gospel. Until that happens to you, he says, if you're not the Lord's people, you can't hear the gospel. In John 10 and 26, Jesus tells us, you know, my sheep know my voice and they hear me. I mean, hear me and they believe me. They believe. You can't believe the gospel. You can't believe in the Lord until the Lord has put himself in you first. We're told we need to love the Lord. What does John tell us over there? John, we love him because he loved us first. He puts his love in our heart. Then we have the ability to love. We have the ability to hear. We have the ability to understand. And that's what the gospel is, to go preach to those people who the Lord has prepared to be heard. I'm not here to save your soul. Couldn't do that. Couldn't try. I can't believe anybody would even think that a man has the ability to save someone's soul. Lord does that. And the Lord does them and prepares them for the preacher, prepares them to read the Bible. If you have a desire to read the Bible, you're already eternally saved. If you have a desire to be baptized, you're already eternally saved. We have plenty of examples of that in the Bible, and that's what I wanted to talk to you about. How about, number one, you'll have some people that say, well, you got to be baptized to go to heaven. Let's talk about this guy that was hanging on the cross next to Christ, the thief on the cross. Remember, when Christ was hung on the cross, he first always says he railed on him and said, you know, made fun of him and mocked him. And then at the last, he said, remember me, speaking of Christ, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Christ said, today you will be in paradise with me. And the thief said, well, I got to get off his cross and go get baptized first. We know that's silly, isn't it? Christ didn't require baptism. Baptism is not required for our eternal salvation. Those of you that have your Bibles, go with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 3, verse 20 and 21. He was talking about Christ here, but he said, talk about the ark. He said, eight men in the ark, speaking of Noah and his wife and his sons and their wives, eight were saved by water. Were they saved eternally by water? No, they were saved from drowning by water. Verse 21, it says, the like figure, something like that, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, saves us, doesn't save us from our sins, doesn't save us from eternal salvation, for eternal salvation. He says, doth now also save us, not by the putting away of the filth of the flesh. It doesn't get rid of your sins. So he's saying, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We do baptism because it gives us a good conscience, because it changes the way you think and you look on life. It gives you the good conscience about, I have proved and shown I'm trying to be a follower of Christ by doing what he did. And we also see that Jesus also gave his example, because he himself was baptized. He went 70 miles to meet with John the Baptist so he could be baptized. We'll talk about it in a minute, but it's talking about when he and John went into the water, and then they came up out of the water straight away after he was raised up out of the water. Then that's when he saw the Holy Spirit descend in the form of a dove. Jesus gives us his exact example and tells us that. And after that, baptism is encouraged throughout the New Testament. And I won't go there today, but that's what I want to talk to you about. There are four elements of baptism. What constitutes a scriptural baptism? What constitutes baptism the way Christ set it out and the apostles set it out in the New Testament? Four things. Number one, there must be a proper candidate. Anybody that joins a church and asks to be baptized needs to be a believer in Christ. That's what we're told. And if you go through and look, every time it occurred, Acts chapter 2, when Philip baptized the eunuch, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 9, when Ananias baptized the Apostle Paul, Acts chapter 10, when Peter baptized Cornelius. In each case, the person believed and professed a belief in Jesus Christ, and then he was eligible to be baptized. You have to profess that belief, you have to believe in Christ, and then you ask to be baptized so I can prove. I want to, what my baptism represents, my belief in Christ. It has to be a proper candidate. So the minister needs to be aware, no, doesn't have to be shown. So people come down and say, yes, you know, I believe the Lord's my Savior, I want to be baptized. Doesn't always have to be verbal. I had a young man in the church one time who couldn't speak. He had some disabilities and couldn't speak. All he could do was moan and utter and groan. And they came up and the men asked him, you know, do you love the Lord? And he went, didn't need to say a word. He just needed to let everybody know and that, yes, I believe in the Lord. I love the Lord. It's my heart. It's coming from the heart. We're supposed to examine someone to make sure that they are regenerated, born again, have a belief in the Lord. The Lord's already appeared in their heart. We don't do anything. We do examine them to see if the Lord has appeared in their heart. That can be said by watching over a period of time. It can be said without words. We just believe we have a judgment to make. We don't always get it right. The Lord will get it right. We may make a mistake. The Lord won't make a mistake. But that's what a proper candidate is belief in Jesus Christ. Every time you see a baptism taking place in the New Testament, it is preceded by someone expressing their belief in Christ. The day of Pentecost, all those that believe were baptized. Every time it'll say, when he believed baptized, he believed in Christ, what hinders me from being baptized? Nothing. Be baptized. Number one, and it has to be a proper candidate. Number two, it has to be a proper form of baptism. We believe the scriptures are very clear and teach us it needs to be by immersion. Every time the word baptism is used, the Greek word is used as baptismo. Baptismo means to plunge in, to dip, to immerse. You go underneath. We believe that's the proper form. It's used that way every time. And when you go through here and look, and you'll see some examples, go to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, good example, when Philip is baptizing the eunuch that I mentioned a minute ago. Philip gets there, the preacher gets there, the eunuch is already reading the Bible. He's already reading and asked to be understand. The Lord's already put himself in this man's heart. Philip began to preach Jesus into him, and he asked, here's water, what hinders me from baptizing? And Philip says, if thou believe, do you believe in your heart? And he says, yes, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come out of the water, every time we see an example of it, it's talking about immersion, going down and being baptized. Mark 1 and 10, as I referenced a while ago about Jesus Christ, gave us his example himself. Passed up Mark. 1 and 10, when Jesus himself was baptized, says, and straightway, coming out of the water. Each time it's referenced, it's talking about a body of water and the candidate being immersed into the water, being baptized. Every time it's used in the Greek translation, it's always using the word baptismo, which means to submerge, to dip completely under the water. Must be for a proper purpose. First one, again, proper candidate, proper form of baptism. Third, it'd be a proper purpose. Why do you want to be baptized? Because I want to identify with what Christ did for me on the cross. I want to identify. I want to prove to the world that I'm identifying with Jesus Christ. If we don't have a death, burial, and a resurrection, then our hope is in vain. You know, and all our worshiping is insincere and it's in vain. And that's what Paul tells us in the sixth chapter of Romans, beginning with verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? I'm being baptized to show that I believe in the death of Christ, in the burial of Christ, and most importantly, in the resurrection of Christ. And that's what baptism is about. He said, wherefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, and like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. I want to show that I believe Christ, and I believe that Christ has saved me already. And I want to show and prove that I understand he was buried, and he died, he was buried, and then because he was resurrected, I will be resurrected. You can go to all the tombs in the world of all the great religious leaders. Of all of those tombs, one of them is empty, and that's the tomb of Christ. Every other great leader, you can pick any religion, any denomination you want to, there's only one grave that's empty where the leader of that religious group was buried, and that was Christ, and he's not there. He's gone because he's resurrected. Because of that, we know we are like him, and we're going to be resurrected by his power at death. We're not going to stay in the grave. That's the reason sometimes people will say, you old Baptists have a strange view of death. You're not afraid of it. I'm not afraid of death because we get improved. The improvement is tremendous at death. You close your eyes and you immediately open them in the presence of your Lord and Savior. And your body's still down there on earth, and they're going to take care of it, and somebody's going to bury it, but you're not there. You're gone. Death is just a doorway for us to pass through. We immediately are in the presence of our Lord and Savior because we don't face death. Our body dies, and then it'll be joined. We're even told it'll be joined again with it at the end of time, and we'll be joined in much proper form. When we get baptized, you'll see here in a moment, you'll see that's what it represents. That's why we go into the water and we stand up and we're standing there and then falling over backwards. It represents Jesus dying. And you're dying and then you go completely under the water that you're representing. He was buried, just like we're buried under the earth. You are completely buried. Then comes the good part. You are resurrected back up like Christ. I believe in that. That's the great hope I have that baptism represents. That's why we're here to do it, because it represents the fact that we don't die. We die momentarily. Our bodies die. But we have that third party, Christ, raising us up out of the tomb, raising us up from the dead immediately on that. And that's what the death, burial, and resurrection represents. First item is a proper candidate. Second is a proper form, immersion. Third is the proper purpose, to show it represents Christ. And fourth is the proper administrator. You see, all through the Bible, all through the New Testament, every time baptism is administered, it is ministered by a minister, an ordained minister of God. It's the reason we believe that ministers do that, because that's the way it is taught. That's one of the ordinances that the minister is in charge of, is implementing, is the ministry of baptism. Again, we're not saved eternally by baptism. It gives us a conscience, clear conscience. You know, I was baptized, it's 40-something years ago now. It was, I think, 1967. My father baptized me. And I understood. I was 19, 20 years old at the time, and I understood what it meant. I understood it meant I was, you know, joining this body that I wanted to represent Christ, be a Christian. I'd give anything in the world if I could have my dad baptize me again today, based on my understanding of what it really means today. I knew what it meant then. I really know what it means today. I have some people I know that are afraid about being rebaptized. I'd be baptized every Sunday if y'all let me. That's the importance of baptism. That's what it means. It's that you're an identifier with Christ. We serve a wonderful Lord. Baptism is not going to save us eternally. If you're wanting baptism, you're already saved eternally. Not just talking about those creatures that are already saved, the Lord's already put himself into. Now, I want to pay him back. I want to thank him for what he's done. That's why I get baptized, so I can say thank you. I want to identify with you, and I thank you for what you've done. And with that baptism, being a follower of Christ, we receive great blessings today and tomorrow. Changes your conscience, changes the way you look at things to go through that baptism. Y'all have been very kind to me with your attention, and my prayer is that the Lord will richly bless you.